I want you to open your Bibles to a most familiar scripture. It's called by many people the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to preach to you today from Matthew chapter 5, the first 10 or 12 verses, Matthew 5. The title of the message is The Blessed Man. Now, I want to read the first several verses. Would you follow along as I read Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 1? And seeing the multitude, our Lord went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called children of God. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is the preacher here. And he was followed by a multitude of people. And he went up to a higher place. He went up into the mountain. He went to a higher place. It was this great crowd of people. And he sat down. They sat down then to preach and stood up to read the word. But the people gathered there before him, and his disciples were with him. His disciples and the people. But now he preached to all of them, because at the very end of the sermon, in Matthew 7:28, it says, when he finished these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now, as I said, this sermon is called by many the Sermon on the Mount. And the subject of the sermon is not so much how to be saved, though it's certainly there. But the subject of this sermon is the life and character of the people who are saved. That's what this sermon's all about, the life and character and conduct of people who know the Lord. And our Lord uses the word blessed 9 times in these verses. And you know what the word blessed means? It's a pronouncement of great happiness and special favor. Now remember that. The word blessed is a pronouncement of very great happiness and special favor from God. The angel said to Mary, now here's where I get that. The angel said to Mary, Hail, thou art highly favored. Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed. The Lord's with you. You're highly favored. And that makes you very happy. And God said in Psalm 65, Blessed is the man whom the Lord chooses and causes to approach unto him, that he may dwell in the courts of the Lord and be satisfied with his goodness. And he's not talking about future blessings only. Blessed is the man. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Right now. This is not just future blessings. Blessed are they right now. They're highly favored. They're greatly happy. And the Lord is with thee. And you'll notice this about these Beatitudes before I get into each one. They stand together. That's right, they do. And one springs out of the other. You're going to notice that. Each one follows, especially marking a growth in grace of God. Each one reveals a deepening of spiritual understanding. Each one marks a better understanding of ourselves and of God. They grow. Now you watch this. May the Lord give us an understanding of these vital words of our Master. The first of the Beatitudes is in verse 3, in which he says, our Lord says, Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How are the poor in spirit blessed? Well, first, they have the gospel preached to them. The poor in spirit have the gospel preached to them. The Lord Jesus, when he preached at Nazareth, that first Sabbath day, identifying his ministry, he said, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To preach the gospel, the good news of salvation to the poor. And then when John the Baptist was in prison and he sent those disciples to the Lord Jesus and asked Jesus Christ, are you he for whom we look or do we look for another? And Christ said, you go tell John. What? What's the first thing he said? You go tell John. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. So blessed are the poor. They have the gospel preached to them. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven if you don't hear the gospel and believe it. And the poor are blessed. Well, who are these poor? Well, they're not necessarily poor materially. They're poor in spirit. They're poor before God. I'm poor. You're poor. David was perhaps one of the richest, most powerful men of his day, King David. And yet he said in Psalm 40, Lord, I'm poor and needy. Lord, think upon me. He said in Psalm 36, hear me, O Lord, for I'm poor and needy. That he uses that over and over. I'm poor, spiritually poor. Arthur Pink defined it this way. The poor in spirit have nothing to pay. They're bankrupt spiritually, bankrupt in Adam, unprofitable. There's none profitable, not one. They have nothing to eat, nothing but feeding on the husk of this old world. They need heavenly manna. There's nothing here to eat. They have nothing to wear. They're clothed with the filthy rags of self-righteousness. That's poor. That's spiritual poor. Poverty. And Paul calls us, listen, in Ephesians 2, he said, we're aliens. We're not even citizens. We're aliens. We're strangers from the covenant. We're without Christ. We're without help. We're without hope. Without God in this world. That, my friend, is poor. Blessed are the poor. How is spiritual poverty a blessing? How can a man say, I'm poor and needy and be happy? Well, listen. Poverty of spirit brings the beggar to the right place to get bread, to the feet of Christ. That's right. He drives him to Christ to seek mercy. Poverty of spirit humbles the proud so that God will exalt him. Poverty of spirit strips off our righteous rags. Got to take them off if you're going to be clothed with his holy garment of righteousness. So poverty of spirit strips us of our righteous rags that we may be clothed in his glorious robe. Poverty of spirit empties us of self that we may be filled with Christ. So, brother, let me tell you, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, what's the next one? Blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. Did you remember I told you these Beatitudes stand together, and they follow one upon another, and this first one leads to the next one. Why are these people mourning? Why are they mourning? They're mourning because they're poor in spirit. That's why they're mourning. Why do these people mourn? They mourn because of their state before God. They mourn over their sins of thought, of word, of deed. The publican in the temple was mourning. He was poor in spirit, and he was mourning over it. He smote on his breast. He said, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. David in Psalm 51 is mourning. He says, have mercy on me, O God. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Lord, don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your spirit from me. Blessed are they that are poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven because it leads to mourning over sin. We mourn over our nature. We mourn over our unbelief. Don't you? Well, the centurion did. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. We mourn over our sins of word, thought, and deed. And our Lord said, blessed are they that mourn. Why? They're going to be comforted. Man never mourned over sin before God without being comforted. You know how we're comforted? We're comforted by the God of comfort who delights to show mercy. We're comforted by our Lord Jesus Christ who said, come to me, I'll give you rest. We're comforted by the Holy Spirit, whose name is Comforter. The Lord Jesus said, I'll give you another Comforter. We're comforted by the Word of God. The Scripture says, comfort one another with these words. We're comforted by God's pastors and preachers. That's what I want to do, comfort God's people, because God told me to do that. In Isaiah 40, he said, comfort my people. Say to them that their sins, iniquities are forgiven. Their sins are blotted out. They have received of the Lord double for all their sins. Tell them that. Tell them that. That'll comfort them. We're comforted forever someday when we awake with his likeness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are they that mourn over their sins and seek mercy, because they'll be comforted. What's the next one? Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. My friends, meekness and humility before God and men is not a product of human nature. No, we're not by nature meek. We're by nature proud. We're not by nature humble. That's not the general characteristics of a human being. We're proud, we're haughty, we're rebellious by nature, aren't we? Well, meekness and humility is a heart work. It's a heart work. And it's found in those who have discovered their poverty and discovered their sins and mourned over them and sought the mercy of God. Saul of Tarsus was a proud, arrogant, religious Pharisee. And God humbled him. God brought him down on the road to Damascus. And after that experience, he talks like a different person. He says, I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I'm not worthy. He said it on another occasion, I'm less than the least of all the saints. This man was an arrogant, proud human being. And he met Christ. And our Lord brought him down. I'm less than the least of all the apostles. And then he said on one occasion, he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief. Oh, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. They'll inherit the earth. God hates pride. Six things God hates, and number one is a proud look. Scripture says God resisteth the proud. He gives grace to the humble. There are five things about the humble. I found this somewhere years ago. Blessed are the meek, the humble, they shall inherit the earth. And here's the reason. The meek give God the glory for what they are and what they have. They give God the glory. They know who makes them to differ. They know a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. They give God the glory. That's right. Secondly, the meek are gentle. They're kind people. And they care for the feelings of others. They tread softly lest they offend others. They care for the feelings of others and the needs of others. They're gentle people. Gentle people. And the meek are teachable. You can teach a meek person, a humble person. You can't teach a proud man. You can only teach a man who's meek and willing to learn. And then fourthly, the meek are generous. They actually find their happiness in making somebody else happy. They find their happiness in giving, in helping, in assisting, in making somebody else happy. That's right. They find their happiness in that. And then fifthly, the meek are patient. They wait on the Lord. Well, who else but these? They're humble. They give God the glory. They're gentle. They're teachable. They're generous. They're patient. Who else would inherit the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness? Our Lord dealt with his proud disciples. They were sitting around arguing about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, who would sit on the Lord's left hand, who'd sit on his right hand. And our Lord took a little child and put that child in the midst of these men arguing over who's the greatest. He set that child in the midst of them and he said, let me tell you something. Except you be converted, brought down, changed, humble, stripped, broken, unless you be converted and become like this child, you're not even going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Such is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. They'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek. They'll inherit the earth. Now watch the next one. And blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They'll be filled. Now we know what this natural flesh thirsts and hungers for, don't we? You do. I do. We know what this flesh hungers for. Riches, pleasure, honor, popularity, beauty, fame, health, wealth, easy living. But the wise man knows that every one of these things I just named are temporary. They're of the earth. The fashion of this world fadeth away. They're just temporary. They're soon gone. What shall it profit a man if he gains every blessed one of those things and loses his soul? Our great need is the holiness of God. That's what I need. That's what you need. Who shall ascend into heaven, into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Well, David tells us, he that hath clean hands, perfect outward holiness, clean hands. He that hath a pure heart, perfect inward holiness. He that hath a soul without vanity, only filled with the will and purpose of God. He that's never lied, never spoken deceitfully, never, never, never. That's who's going to stand before God. Perfect inward holiness, perfect outward holiness, perfect soul, and never lied. Well, the answer comes, no man has this. No man. This is spoken of no man. You, me, no son of Adam has this or ever can have this. But one did. One did. The Son of God, the Son of Man, he was perfect. He loved God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And his neighbors himself. That's right. He fulfilled every law. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is what Paul was hungering for and thirsting for. He said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, which is of the flesh, which is no righteousness at all. But oh, that I might have the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, that I might know him. And the power of his resurrection. I tell you, by the disobedience of one, Adam, we were made sinners. Only by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, can we be made holy. Now listen to our Lord. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. Bankrupt. Blessed are they that mourn over this condition. They desire to be holy. Blessed are the meek. They've discovered this righteousness is not in them or of them or from them, but in him. Blessed are they that hunger for it and thirst for righteousness and know it's found in Christ, and they'll not be content until they have that righteousness. Like Jacob of old, when he wrestled with the Lord, he said, I won't let you go till you bless me. Lord, I need righteousness. I need forgiveness. I need mercy. Well, he said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, not just for straits of gold, not just an opportunity to see mom again, not just to get out of this old world and live in luxury, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, holiness, they'll be filled. You seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Watch verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. The Lord means what he says. He's not saying that these people receive mercy from God because they're merciful to others. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, blessed are the merciful. They shall receive mercy. He's saying that people who consistently show mercy to others, people who consistently forgive others, people who consistently bear and forbear with others, People who consistently love others and are generous to others, they indicate that they're objects of mercy. They indicate that they're objects of kindness. They indicate that they're objects of God's forgiveness. Be ye merciful as your Father's been merciful to you. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. If you forgive not, you're not forgiven. If you don't show mercy, you haven't received mercy. That's right. Our Lord says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. He that loveth is born of God. See, blessed are the merciful. That's the state. That's the state they're in. They're people who are merciful. God's made them merciful. God's given them a new nature, a new heart. He that loveth not knoweth not God. He that's not merciful has never received mercy. He that doesn't forgive has never been forgiven. You see what our Lord's saying? John Wesley told this story. He was on board a ship coming from England to America, to the U.S. This is 1700 and something. But the new governor appointee of Georgia was on this same boat. And the governor's servant was caught stealing the governor's wine and drinking it. And the governor brought him out on board the ship in front of all the people and had him tie him to a mask, strip off his shirt, and told him to give him so many lashes. And John Wesley went up to the governor and he said to him, he said, "Would you show mercy to this man? I'm asking, I'm pleading on his behalf. I'm pleading for this man. He's made a mistake. He's sinned. He's done wrong. But would you forgive him?" To which the governor replied, "Mr. Wesley, I never forgive. I never forgive." And Mr. Wesley said, "Sir, I sure hope you never sin, for it's certain you'll never be forgiven. If we forgive not others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours." Blessed are the merciful. They'll obtain mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. They're going to see God. Now, no true believer listening to my voices today will claim to have a pure heart, a heart pure of sin. No believer professes to be pure without sin in heart, motive, or thought. What's the Lord saying? Blessed are the poor in heart. They'll see God. He's saying that their faith is a pure faith without hypocrisy. Their belief in Christ is a pure belief without hypocrisy. That it's true faith, free from insincerity. That's what Paul said. He can help us on this. Blessed are the pure in heart. My heart's not absolutely pure, and yours is not either. But I tell you this, it's genuine. My faith is sincere, without hypocrisy before God. And that's what Paul says here in 2 Timothy 1:3. He said, "I serve God with a pure conscience." I serve God with a pure conscience. I'm honest in my service to God. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not covetous of anything you have, Paul said. I'm serving God. He said in 2 Timothy 2, "Peace to them who call on God out of a pure heart." When you pray and call on God, you better not be a hypocrite. You better not be a phony. You better have a pure heart in that regard. Sincere. Peter said, "See that you love one another with a sincere heart," with a pure heart. So that's the pure in heart of people who have a sincere, genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ without sham, without hypocrisy. A sincere, genuine hope is a hope of eternal life through the blood and righteousness of Christ only, and not my works. A sincere, genuine love for God and for one another is a true love. All right, watch verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the children of God. Peacemakers. Charles Spurgeon once said, the believer is a peaceful person. A peaceful person who ends a quarrel. Just stop it. who extends a hand of friendship. A peacemaker is one who seeks unity and reconciliation. A peacemaker is a person that avoids discord and dissension and division among brethren. A peacemaker is one who forgives a misunderstanding. Just forgives it. Now, a contentious spirit, Mr. Spurgeon said, is an unregenerate spirit. And a troublemaker is in trouble with God. And a man who sows discord is an enemy of God. And a grudge bearer bears his own grudge, which is sin. And a man seeking revenge is not seeking God. That's as clear as I can make it. A man seeking revenge is not seeking God. Now, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When our Lord was here on the earth in human flesh, he was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And his teachings were contrary to the so-called wisdom of the world and the principles and opinions of this world and religion. The world hated him and nailed him to a cross. Well, he tells us the servant's not greater than his Lord. He said, if they've rejected my sayings, they'll reject yours. If they hated me, they'll hate you. And blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and speak evil of you for my sake. Rejoice and be glad. Great is your reward in heaven. If you want this tape, The Blessed Man, send $2. We'll mail it to you. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.